According to our rock and roll historian, Ed Ward, many of the San Francisco bands from the 60s were about live improvisation. Ed says the only band that managed to survive fairly intact by doing this was the Grateful Dead. Ed has a profile of another one of these bands that didn't fare as well, Quicksilver Messenger Service.
I sometimes wonder what the earnest young people who are so into the 60s these days think when they actually hear the music that was recorded back then. They probably think they're missing something, something that only existed at the time, and in a way, I guess that's true. But records, like photographs, can be very deceptive, as the case of Quicksilver Messenger Service makes very clear. Like so many of the San Francisco bands, Quicksilver came about due to a fusion of folk and rock musicians. David Freiberg had bummed around as a folk singer, playing with Paul Kantner and David Crosby for a while, and eventually finding himself in Marin County, just across the Golden Gate Bridge from San Francisco. There, he met John Cipollina, a veteran of dozens of suburban garage bands and owner of a real estate license his parents had made him get before they'd let him turn pro. They hooked up with a songwriter named Dino Valenti, a drummer, Greg Elmore, and another guitarist, Gary Duncan, and a band was born. Unfortunately, right at that time, Valenti got busted for pot and began a 2-year prison sentence. Deprived of his writing skills, the band jumped into the folky song bag and got to work. Naturally, nobody at this point in human history was going to form a band without doing everybody's astrological charts, and it was discovered that Freiberg and Cipollina shared a birthday, as did Elmore and Duncan, and that all four of them were Virgos. Freiberg pointed out that Mercury was Virgo's ruling planet. He was a messenger, and was also known as Quicksilver, so the name Quicksilver Messenger Service was born. They played their first gig at the end of 1965, which put them squarely in the first generation of Haight-Ashbury bands, even though they were from Marin County. With the Grateful Dead and the Jefferson Airplane, they formed the big three of the San Francisco scene, and, like the other two, they eventually landed a record deal with Capitol. First single was Hamilton Camp's stirring anti-war anthem, Pride of Man, and predictably, it never went near the charts. But, like so many of the bands from this scene, Quicksilver was predominantly a live band, given to jamming for hours, much to the chemically induced appreciation of its fans. Their next album, Happy Trails, showcased this facet of their talents. The album was essentially a tribute to Bo Diddley as interpreted by a band with two psychically interlocked lead guitarists. It was their last great moment. Dino Valenti got out of jail, and guitarist Greg Duncan quit the band to go ride around the country on a motorcycle with him. The band hired British pianist Nicky Hopkins to replace Duncan. Thank you. As their next album, Shady Grove, made abundantly clear, Hopkins was no replacement for Duncan. And then, on New Year's Eve 1969, Duncan showed up at the band's gig with Valenti in tow and offered to join the band if Dino could too. Quicksilver said yes, and immediately it became Valenti's band. My apologies to the producers of this show for the next song. Fresh Air went on to become the band's biggest single ever, and in short order, Quicksilver became just another generic FM radio band. John Cipollina left in 1970, but Valenti continued caterwauling and leading the band through 1975. San Franciscans didn't want to know, and eventually, neither did anybody else. The band's still going in some form, although Cipollina died in 1989 from the respiratory problems he'd had since childhood. The real Quicksilver Messenger Service, though, lives on only in the memories of those who were there.
Ed Ward is co-author of Rock of Ages, The Rolling Stone History of Rock and Roll, and he writes for the Austin Chronicle.